It was called the Jones-Mascaro Bill, after Democratic State Representative Pat Jones and Republican Representative Steve Mascaro. The idea was to limit the income tax break that large families were getting under Utah law. Over a dozen years, the legislature rejected the idea time after time. But now, thanks to the tax reform enacted by Congress and the response of the Utah legislature to those changes, a policy similar to Jones-Mascaro is in place, and that means some larger families will be paying significantly higher state income taxes in the coming year. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. A new research report from Utah Foundation pointed out the changes that will likely result in higher taxes for larger families. Research analyst Christopher Collard explains how the changes in federal law created a potential tax windfall for state government.
The 2017 federal tax changes included removing the personal exemption and doubling the standard deduction. Those are two factors that impact Utah's income tax revenues through the taxpayer tax credit. The taxpayer tax credit is a tax credit that everyone files for as they file their state income tax return, but only low-income and middle-income households actually benefit from the taxpayer tax credit. So these households that generally benefited from this tax credit will be impacted by these changes. Generally, those changes state that smaller households, or rather households with fewer children, will generally benefit. They'll pay less in state income taxes, while those with three or more children will tend to pay more in state income taxes.
Utah has had a state income tax since 1931. It underwent a significant reorganization in 2007 when the progressive tax bracket system was replaced with a single flat rate of 5%. As chair of Utah's State Tax Commission, John Valentine is responsible for administering and collecting income taxes. In 2007, he was president of the Utah Senate. He says the changes have largely accomplished what they set out to do.
Those goals were to try to have a rate that was the same for business and for individuals, so it didn't matter whether you were a pass-through entity receiving income, or whether you were an individual receiving income, or whether you're a corporation receiving income. They would all be taxed at the same rate. That was one of the achieved goals. Another one was to try to get the rate down from the 7.25 that it was to be more competitive at the 5% rate. That was achieved as well.
To help mitigate the impact of the recent federal tax changes, the Utah legislature reduced that flat income tax rate to 4.95%. But a Utah Foundation analysis shows that by itself, it will make only a small difference in what families actually pay. Without further legislative action, larger families will pay more. And that had Commissioner Valentine thinking back to the days of that original Jones-Mascaro proposal.
What it ended up doing is it ended up causing an increase in folks that have multiple dependents. And it caused a decrease for those who had less dependents. Very similar to the Pat Jones philosophy that was rejected by the legislature several years ago when I was still president of the Senate. Since you have more children, you're utilizing the education system to a greater extent. And since our income tax by constitution is required to be used for education, those who are using the system would be paying more. That was the philosophy in the Jones-Mascaro bill. Interestingly enough, the action of the legislature this last year in not adopting the Utah-centric exemption basically follows that philosophy.
Steve Mascaro was defeated in his bid for re-election by another Republican, Ken Ivory, in 2010. Pat Jones moved from the Utah House to the state Senate and then left office in 2015. She had believed the whole idea of limiting the tax break for larger families had run its course, but she's encouraged by the upcoming ballot measure that could provide a significant tax increase for Utah's public schools. Supporting education, she says, is what she has always worked for.
I can't even count the number of hours. All over the state, I met with newspapers, I met with chambers of commerce, I met with schools, teachers, families, you know, just so many different people. And as I did, and, you know, superintendents and so forth, I got their feedback. I made minor adjustments to it for 12 years that happened. And I learned, you know, if nothing else, I learned about how public education is funding in our is funded in our state. And I learned about tax policy. So I gained quite a bit out of it just by running that bill. But I also feel like I had the good of our state at heart, and the good of our parents and students at heart, because people kept telling me, I want to fund public education, but it needs to end up in the classroom. And I believe the same thing. I'd love to have more local control, and this initiative that people will see on the ballot in November will do just that. So yes, it's very sweet to see major portions of what I worked on for so many years come to fruition, hopefully.
Of course, the compromise ballot measure is non-binding, and the legislature still has the option of restoring the tax break for large families. But for the moment, a once-forgotten tax proposal has become Utah's status quo. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan public policy research group funded by business, philanthropic foundations, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to promote a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.